Hello, hello, and welcome to episode 13 of Could It Be Podcast. Today I am giving a bit of an update. It has been, and I can't believe it, but it has been 3 months since my explant surgery on the 27th of September it was. So we're a little bit past it as I'm recording this now, but life's been busy and I've been making the most of my time. So I haven't had the chance to record it until now. In the last little while, I will give you a bit of an update on a few things. Firstly, I received a letter from the Australian Breast Device Registry, or the ABDR, regarding the fact that my surgeon had advised them of the fact that I'd had my breast devices removed, I guess is the wording there. They're a Commonwealth government initiative managed by the Monash University, so here in Australia, obviously, based on the name. It's been established to monitor the long-term safety and performance of implanted medical devices, and it's a service that is provided at no cost. It also is an opt-out registry and participation is completely voluntary. So when I received the letter, I had a bit of a read through it, put it to the side, because looking at the date on the letter right now, it was sent to me on the 26th of July. Whoops. But what I ended up doing once I got the guts to do it, gave them a call. I wanted to share with them as much information as possible and see whether they had any records of the actual type of breast implant that I had. I still do not know right now. You know, 16 years ago, I think I was potentially given a card with the name and serial numbers or something of my implants, just based on what I'm reading in the Facebook groups. I don't remember this happening, but as I think I've mentioned, I was quite young. Mum was helping me with a lot of it, so I do not have those anymore if they were ever given to me. So I still don't know whether my implants were the type that were recalled or anything like that. So that's a bit of a mission at the moment. The staff there were incredible. The lady I spoke to on the phone was so lovely, very professional, very appreciative of the fact that I'd given her a call. She explained that they were established in 2015, so any implants that were inserted before this date, so mine were done in 2006, they're not recorded on their particular registry. She advised of a different one, which was, I think, just called the Breast Implant Registry, and it was managed by the Australian Society of Plastic Surgeons. That particular registry ended in May 2015, and I'm guessing this is where the ABDR came in, but their original one, the old one that ended in 2015, is still available to contact for patient inquiries. So I asked the lady in the new current ABDR, whether they were recording information about breast implant illness symptoms that people had been experiencing. And she offered to take some notes and record them on my file because they are in a way at the moment. I gave her a list and she said they were really common for what she was hearing from other women and what they were experiencing. So what I did offer to do is give them a call back once I'd found out what kind of implants I had, just to add to the information that they are collecting. I have jumped on their website and it says to speak with your surgeon about whether you are contributing to the registry if you've had your implants taken out. And if you're not, you can ask for your surgeon to include you in the registry. There's also a section on their website for patients and there's also another one for health professionals. So you can always direct them there if they haven't heard of it before. And what I'll do, I'll also include their website in the show notes. This is obviously for Australian patients only. The website also provides updated information on different info such as breast implant recalls and the breast implant associated cancers that have sort of popped up in the last few years. So it might even just be a good website to keep an eye on for any updates, just if you are monitoring your health and everything post-explant. So when I did speak to the lady in ABDR, she gave me the phone number for the old registry. I gave them a call. They emailed me a form that I had to complete to give permission to release my records to me, and also gave them some information so that they could look me up. So what my address may have been at the time. I'm really lucky. I've only lived with my parents when I was younger, bought my house quite young. So I, you know, had two addresses to offer them and that was it. My phone number hasn't changed since then, I don't think. So yeah, pretty lucky that I would be quite easy to search for them. They emailed me back the same day, so within a couple of hours, just advising that my implants were never registered with them and it was a voluntary registry, so maybe I missed the information where I needed to follow it up. I'm not quite sure how it worked, but yeah, I wasn't in their registry at all. What I'll do as well is I will include their phone number in my show notes, but their phone number is actually referred to in the current Australian Breast Device Registry website, so you can always jump on there and have a look too. Since then, and it was only this morning, I've called my surgeon's rooms as I keep forgetting to ask her when I go to my follow-up appointments, the very brief one I do go to see her, about what kind of implants I had. And the receptionist I spoke to said that the nurse was going to have a look through my file and give me a call back. I haven't heard from them yet, but once I am updated, I'll update the episodes in future. So that was it for the Australian Breast Device Registry. In the last few weeks since my previous episode, I have had my 8-week post-explant appointment with my surgeon. She's very happy with how I'm looking and how I'm healing. She sort of mentioned, look, you've always had a bit of asymmetry in your boobs, and you know, I do still now, even though they are looking a lot better than what they did when I first came out of surgery. And she also agreed that the scars are looking really good too. She did ask how I was feeling overall, and I mentioned the decrease in the joint pain and all the new hair growth. She gave me the go-ahead to do any exercise I like. So anything, there were no limitations, just as long as I was wearing some form of bra. There is no concern there for me. I actually wear one all the time. I live in crop tops. I haven't gone and been fitted for a proper bra yet. I'm still waiting to see what size I might be when I fluff up. So I'm living in really comfy crop tops and bralettes at the moment. Even when I sleep, there's been one night after that appointment, I think it was, where I couldn't find the crop top that I had been wearing. So I was just like, all right, well, I'll give it a go not wearing one. And in the morning, I did wake up a little bit sore. So I just live in them. I'm really comfortable. I have no problems with the ones that I'm wearing. That's just sort of how I am. I'm happy to wear one when I'm exercising, obviously. From that appointment, the surgeon has booked me in for another follow-up 3 months from that appointment. So that's actually happening towards the end of November. Other updates. So if you follow any kind of breast implant illness pages on Instagram or even the hashtags, you'll probably come across a lot of women taking photos with, like, actually holding on to their implants after the surgery. And I was wondering why it was never offered for me to have mine. And again, my surgeon is a lady of few words, so I wasn't sure whether it was just her. But in the last few weeks or so, I think I've seen somebody talking on those breast implant illness Facebook groups, specifically one in Australia, that in Australia you can't be given your old implants. I don't know whether that's 100% correct, but it does make sense because any of the Australian pages I follow don't actually post about it. I've seen New Zealand, I've seen in the US. So yeah, very interesting there. So there will never be a post from me where I'm holding my old implants and dropping them to the floor because I don't have them. I do not know where they are, and I really don't mind. So what I thought I'd also do for this episode is go through the list that I had posted online of my symptoms and just talk to how I'm feeling for that particular symptom. I have noticed in the last 2 weeks or so that some of my symptoms are still hanging around, and although overall they are a lot better, I think there's still something that's not quite right with my body at the moment. The doctor did definitely get the entire capsule or both of the capsules out, so that's not a concern for me. I think something else is going on. So I am investigating that with my GP. I've had some scans, I've had some blood tests. I'm waiting to get in to see her for a follow-up. So I will provide updates as I sort of hear more. But yeah, just I'm not feeling quite right. So I'll talk about each of those as I go through them. So the first one was hair loss. So that is definitely a lot better since the surgery. The length of my hair goes through these growth spurts where the difference is noticeable, like across 2 weeks. I'll get my partner to take photos of the back of my head, and he's like so lovely and never gets sick of it. And like we sort of put them side by side in one of those collage apps. And yeah, it's noticeable. I have heaps of new baby hair and had noticed that my eyebrows had started to fill out quite a bit. I was, you know, in high school in the 2000s, and that's when plucking your eyebrows to be super thin was fashionable. And, you know, I'm still recovering from that many, many years later. But yeah, they had started to fill up a bit, and I'd noticed new hairs that were growing where it would make my eyebrows a little bit thicker. So I was really excited to see that happening. The quality of my hair on my head actually feels like it has improved as well. I am using treatments and stuff. The only thing that I've probably introduced, I think I was using this just before my explant surgery, so it might be why it is feeling healthier, but I do a protein treatment once a week, and it was just one that I found on one of those sort of sale websites. So it's not an expensive brand or anything, but it's, yeah, that maybe that's helped, but I just feel like the quality of my hair has improved since explanting. Although I have noticed improvements, I have noticed some hair loss has started to creep in and my eyebrows are starting to look a bit more sparse again. And that's happening in the last few weeks. Nothing's really changed. I haven't changed anything in my diet. I haven't changed my supplements or my hair care. I'm using the same stuff that was working really well for me. I'm still doing the microneedling at home throughout my scalp, the same shampoo and conditioners, all of that kind of thing. And yeah, I've just noticed when I'm washing my hair specifically, a bit more is coming out in my hands. My hair does feel like a lot, not a lot, but it does feel fuller when I'm putting it in a ponytail. So it's not a concerning amount like it had been for the last few years, but I've just noticed it. It's sort of happening again. I do tend to lose hair after having anesthetic, but it's normally 6 months after before it kicks in. So that might just be early onset of that or whether it's something else that's going on. So that's what I'll be talking with my doctor about when I see her. Next on the list, we had IBS and food intolerances. So I accidentally tested this the weekend just gone just to see whether the high FODMAP foods still impact me. Bit of a backstory. I have tried to go vegetarian before and two things stopped me. One was the poor recovery from exercise, and I didn't know at the time that that was possibly linked to my breast implants. So, you know, I could possibly go back and test that again, and I might be okay now. I might recover from workouts. But the other thing is like a lot of the things that you swap when it comes to proteins are like legumes and lentils and that kind of thing. And lentils are, they blow me up. Like I get really bad bloating, really bad stomach aches and really bad gas. Sorry, too much information, but that's IBS life for you. And yeah, so I haven't been able to go vegetarian for that reason. Also with a lot of those meat substitutes, they have a lot of the filler type things in them that just are high FODMAP. I can't, I'd have to live on tofu and halloumi. Look, I wouldn't complain about living on halloumi for the rest of my life. I love it. But yeah, it just doesn't work for how my body reacts to it. I'd end up being lethargic and bloaty and sore a lot of the time. I just couldn't do it. Anyway, the other night, my partner and I went out with a group of people and we were at this, it's basically this old industrial shed that they've got little eateries throughout, and a lot of them are vegan vegetarian type places. So we ordered this dish that had gnocchi, and then through the sauce we didn't realize, but it actually had lentils. And I'm like, look, I'll give it a go. Both of us may suffer later if I react badly to it, but at least I've tested it. Then I ate it. I didn't eat a lot. Like it was probably a couple of spoons full of cooked lentils, and within an hour I was bloaty, I was gassy, I was uncomfortable. So that's still hanging around, and I'm guessing the IBS and food intolerances weren't related to my breast implant illness. I know I have spoken about one of my previous surgeries where my ovary had attached itself to the outside of my bowel while it was healing from having a cyst removed. And I'm wondering whether maybe that's just exacerbated a small issue that was there before. So yeah, I'm stuck with that. It's fine. I know how to manage it, and I just know what I need to do when I do have a flare up. Next on the list was the constant joint aches. So this was going really well, and to a degree it is still a lot better than before explanting, but around the same time as my hair loss creeping in again, I have noticed some joint aches in that time, and they're not really going away. They don't seem to be triggered by anything in particular. My ankles are especially noticeable, but I'm also feeling it in my hips and my lower back. But my hips and lower back were areas that I did have joint pain in before explanting. It's nowhere near as bad as it was before then. So I'm keeping an eye on that and making sure I stretch, because we have been exercising a lot since I got clearance, and it may be just because I'm moving more, but it doesn't feel quite right. It doesn't feel like something that's because I need to stretch more. So watch this space. We had next the poor recovery from exercise. So this has actually been really good. My first few weights workouts, as you can imagine, after not doing weights for a few months, I did have what they call DOMS, the delayed onset muscle soreness, but it was only a normal amount of time. So for me, for a normal weights workout, the first few times I do it, it might be 2 days where I have the muscle soreness. And that's all it was. I would have been able to do workouts where I worked that same muscle group, but not exactly the same moves with that muscle soreness. It wasn't enough to stop me from doing things. So, you know, I could have done a leg workout and then the next day done a spin class and had no problems. And I wouldn't have been able to manage that before my surgery. So that's something that has been really good. I have mentioned before that I would get to the point where my muscles felt like they were going to like snap. And that's why I had to quit CrossFit. That hasn't come back. So like I was just saying before, I can do the same muscle groups a couple of days apart and not have any problems. Again, wasn't able to do that before explanting. So I'm really, really happy with that. We've done so much walking, hiking, bike riding. The bike rides are both indoors and outdoors. We did one on the weekend that was nearly 30Ks. So that's the longest, I think, since my operation. And I feel fine. Like, that kind of exercise gives me more energy. I don't understand how that works, but I feel really energized when I get home. I can do a lot more. I'm still coming home from that kind of thing and mowing the lawns and, you know, have the energy to do that. So super happy with that. I've also done some weights workouts and I recover super well. And I'm really loving the feeling of building my strength again. I loved doing CrossFit because of how strong it made me feel. And I really miss that feeling. That's starting to come back. So yeah, super excited for the next few months and building some strength back. Next on the list, we had ringing in my ears, or tinnitus it's called. This is still hanging around. And I think I was just a little bit hopeful that it was BII that was causing it to happen, because I had heard of other women who had ringing in their ears that stopped the moment they had their breast implants taken out. I remember the gig that this started. So I kind of knew that it was just from not wearing proper hearing protection at loud concerts. But yeah, so I've just got to live with that, and that's absolutely fine. I have had a hearing test since my last episode, and that was just something my GP referred me on to see whether the tinnitus had caused any level of hearing loss just based on the different pitches. The specialist that I saw said I had really good hearing. There didn't appear to be any hearing loss at all. And, you know, every couple of years or so to go back and see her. If I am concerned, I can go back sooner. But yeah, no problems with my actual hearing. It's just the tinnitus from the gigs. One thing I have noticed, and it's possibly from talking about this, but you know, like your targeted marketing that comes up when your phone is listening to you. I've had a few ads come up for different colored noise, and that probably sounds a bit weird, but most people would know about like a white noise machine. I think my nieces and nephews sleep with one of those going all night, and it's kind of like a static noise or a rain noise. I have had advertisements come up for brown noise, for green noise, pink, violet. Like, so I've had a listen to all of them to see what frequency works well for me. And I really like brown noise, red noise, and green noise. So anytime I'm feeling a bit overwhelmed by the noises in my surroundings, and that could be in the days when I'm sitting in the office at work and I don't necessarily want to listen to music. So if I'm writing some analysis and I need to focus and not hear other words, so not hear vocals in a song, I will put on some of the brown, green, or red noise. And I find, yeah, it really sort of drowns out anything that else that's going on. And it also kind of cancels out the ringing in my ears, so that's quite nice. But I had no idea that it was this full like spectrum of color noises. Sounds like I'm high, but yeah, go check it out if you've got any kind of tinnitus, or even, you know, if you're having trouble sleeping or focusing, or I've seen some of these recommended for ADHD. Yeah, jump on. There's Spotify playlists on all of them. Next on the list, we had dermatitis in my ears. This is still happening. I do use a prescription cream that my ENT gave me when that seems to sort of get worse. It's not to the point where I wake up scratching my ears like I used to. Like, my ears would end up, they felt like they were bleeding. They were that sore from me scratching it in my sleep. They were that bad. That doesn't happen anymore. So that has definitely improved. There's still some dryness that I'm noticing. And that could be, yeah, from years of having to wear earplugs in the past, because I had a previous partner who snored really badly and I was never able to sleep. And I feel like that kind of triggered that to start to happen. But yeah, definite improvement. But part of that might be the prescription cream that the ENT gave me. Next on the list, we had the skin rashes and psoriasis. So I did have some psoriasis spots like in between my boobs. And that cleared up quite a while ago now. That was all doing really well until a few weeks ago when I noticed some psoriasis spots came up on my hips on both sides. This used to happen at the start of winter when I was in rooms that were heated and my skin had dried out. But it's now the start of spring. You wouldn't know it in Adelaide. You might hear rain in the background. Our weather's been kind of terrible. We did have a burst of sunshine on the weekend just gone. But yeah, it's gone back to kind of wintry. That might be why. But yeah, just randomly my skin started getting bad again. So psoriasis on my hips, I'm treating that with the Mugu eczema and psoriasis cream that I've posted on my Instagram before. And that's slowed down the spread of it, and it's not as red and like angry as it was. But yeah, that was a bit of a surprise when that popped up. We had the weird body odor next on the list. I am very, very happy to report that this hasn't returned. I'm still only using a natural deodorant and not noticing any smell. And to add on to that, sometimes I'll have a shower at night if I've used the sauna at home, just not going to bed sweaty. And after that nighttime shower, I don't put the deodorant on just to trial it, just to see whether anything, like any kind of smell, comes back. The next morning, I'll do a workout. You know, it might be a spin class where I'm getting super sweaty and I still don't smell. It's so good. So that hasn't come back and I'm super happy about that. On the list next, we had weight gain. So this is where I think something else may be happening with my body. I feel like I've gained weight, my clothes aren't as comfortable, I feel heavier all over. And I can understand an element of weight gain because I was exercising right up until my explant surgery. I did have to cut back on weights because I wasn't recovering from workouts, but I was doing hikes and I was doing spin classes, and then I suddenly stopped that. So I can understand my body has suddenly stopped exercise and then gaining weight after having the surgery. But I've been exercising for a good 6 weeks now. I've been doing probably more than I would have before explanting. And I haven't really changed my diet. If anything, it's probably a little better. But I just feel like I'm putting weight on. And there's not really anything that I'm aware of, like in my body at the moment, that could be causing that. So that's part of what we're looking into with my GP. And I'm just going to keep looking into what it may be. There's a few things that I have an idea of, it might be this, but I don't want to really talk about that yet. I'm just going to go through this process of elimination to see what's going on. The brain fog and concentration issues were next. So this had improved so much in the weeks after my surgery. I had some brilliant mental clarity. I had some real challenges thrown to me at work where I'd start one task, it'd get completely changed. And before explanting, that would have left me super irritated because I wouldn't be able to focus enough to get the redo of that work done to a really high standard. But I've been able to do that since explanting. I feel as though the brain fog may have come back a little bit in the last few weeks though. It could be with, and I noticed it especially at work, it could be because I knew I had holidays coming up and you know you're a little bit excited and you've got things on your mind about like what boxes you want to tick off while you're on leave. But yeah, I just wasn't focusing as well. I even had to set a timer. I remember reading about the Pomodoro technique and I had to set myself a timer for 25 minutes of just knuckling down and getting work done and then giving myself a 5 minute break. And that's not a complete break, but just to slow down that work. Once that 5 minutes is over, jump back on, do another 25. So read up on that if you do have issues with focusing on work and finishing it. You can even use it for your housework. But yeah, I had to really implement that at work to get things done in the last few weeks. So overall, it's definitely a lot better than before the surgery, but it's just, I'm not as sharp at the moment. I was really enjoying how sharp I was post-explant. So yeah, hoping I can find out what's going on so that can come back. Fatigue was up next, so I'm going really well with this. I've had some later nights that I'm used to lately and have had several of these in a row. So previously, one night was my limit. If I had two nights of not enough sleep, so 8 hours, 7 to 8 hours, I'd probably say, I would really struggle with focusing. I'd be irritable, like maybe even had some issues with recovering from workouts. but I don't really experience that anymore. I feel like a couple of nights is fine. I'm probably not as sharp after, you know, night two of not enough sleep, but yeah, I'm not needing naps on the weekend. I used to have to do that most weekends. I actually went through this period of going to a sewing school for 3 hours on a Saturday morning, and I would come home and I would be so exhausted. So I'd nap before I went on and did anything else with my afternoon. I haven't needed naps necessarily. But yeah, so I'm just trying to focus on getting to bed at a decent time. My body clock is still kind of wired to the days when I used to work in a gym and I used to start work at 6 a.m. And also my golden retriever, I love her, but she wakes me up at like 6, 6:30. Even now, daylight savings has started. And yeah, so I know with me, once I'm woken up, I can't get back to sleep. So I just need to focus on getting to bed at a decent time so that I am getting my 8-ish hours sleep in. But yeah, overall fatigue is pretty much gone. I had the tired looking eyes next. So I mentioned this in my previous episode, just in passing, the one that I recorded with my sister, where I received my first compliment on my eyes in years. And like, this isn't me being cocky at all. I hope it doesn't come across that way. But I used to just get random strangers, especially like nights out with friends. We're at the pub and you'd have people going, "Oh, wow, your eyes are really pretty," or "They're a nice color." And I hadn't had a compliment like that in so long. You know, I don't go out anywhere near as much anymore. But yeah, like, it had been ages since I'd had compliments on my eyes. And I went to fill up with petrol and there was a young girl serving and she's like, "You have really pretty eyes. I love the color." And I was just shocked. I hope I said thank you, because I was just in shock that I'd received a compliment about them. So yeah, that was really cool, because I am noticing the whites are whiter. There are some days where they're not quite as bright, but I think that might be where the day before I haven't maybe had enough water to drink. So making sure that I am keeping that up, because yeah, I really love seeing how healthy my eyes look now. They don't look anywhere near as sunken in. They still are a little bit, but even as a kid, I think I kind of had that, but I just don't have the darkness that was in there before. So that's going really well. Migraines was next on the list. I haven't had any migraines since the surgery, but I haven't had any migraines since I had my Mirena IUD put in. So that's kind of hard to test without not having a Mirena, whether the migraines were caused by BII. But thinking back, my first one was when I was 20. And that wasn't long after I had my implants put in. I had never had a migraine before that. So yeah, interesting to test maybe one day if I change contraception medication, yeah, whether the Mirena was stopping them or whether the breast implants being taken out will stop it. We will see. The next one was a different list that I posted a bit later on. And it was things that I didn't necessarily realize were linked to my breast implant illness, but noticed afterwards when they stopped. So the first one was the temperature sensitivity and the arthritic feelings in my hands when they were cold. That's all still going really well at the moment. I can have warmer showers than I used to. I don't necessarily love when I'm cold, like when I'm working from home and sort of sitting still, my hands can get cold, but it's not like I'm unable to move them because they're so cold. So that's really positive there. Next was swollen glands in my neck and swollen armpits. I haven't noticed this returning at all. Next on the list was flare-ups of joint pain, either after walking or after sitting for too long. Maybe a little bit of this is flaring up after I have been sitting for longer periods of time. I haven't noticed it after the workouts specifically. So what would happen was if I did a walk, I would get home, sit down for a few minutes, eat breakfast or have a coffee, and then getting up, I would have joint aches. I don't have that anymore, but I think I possibly have it a little bit if I'm sitting down for a long time at work and I sort of get up to go to the tea room or something. I do have a little bit of a flare up, but once I'm moving, it seems to go away, and that had stopped after explanting. So yeah, we'll see. The next one on that list was the loss of oiliness in my skin. I am still shiny every day at the moment. I have to kind of blot a few times a day throughout the day at work. But yeah, some might say that's glowy. I say it's oily, but that's still hanging around. So apparently that means that your skin stays looking younger for longer. So I'll just take that. That's fine. Next, I had overnight sinus congestion. This is only back because hay fever season has arrived in full force here in Adelaide. I was wondering whether hay fever might subside a little after the surgery because so many other things had, but yeah, it's just knocking me out. Like, I do get blocked sinuses overnight and sometimes itchy eyes. And yeah, that sort of started to happen again. That had stopped. Like, there was an element of it that was pre-explant and that was outside of hay fever season. And then, yeah, it got better after my surgery. But now, yeah, hay fever season is punching me in the face. But yeah, just managing that with hay fever tablets. And then at nighttime, I take like this eucalyptus sinus spray just to clear anything that's sort of sitting in my nose before I go to bed. So still not perfect, but you know, you just kind of got to roll with it. It just kind of sucks that I'm allergic to the prettiest time of the year. Lack of mental clarity was next. So again, this one's mostly okay. Just the periods of brain fog that are creeping in that I mentioned before. Irritable moods. So overall, I'm in a better mood most of the time, I think. I should probably ask my mum because she was always really good at telling me when I was in a bad mood. But I have these waves of positivity where I just feel super grateful that I made the decision. And I feel really grateful about how much I can do now. And like, I hadn't really had those bursts of enthusiasm before explanting. So yeah, that's really good. I did mention this to my partner that I feel like I'm in a better mood overall. And he only noticed a couple of, might've been one day where I wasn't quite as bubbly as I normally would be in text messaging. But then when we looked at the calendar, I was PMS-y. So, I'm not in a bad mood. I'm not getting irritable because of my symptoms. Like, I would take the dogs to the beach and I would end up in quite a lot of pain and I just get so moody because of it. And we took the dogs to the beach on the weekend. My lower back was a little bit sore because I haven't walked on sand in such a long time, but I wasn't angry. So that was really nice. I can enjoy things again. So that was all for those lists. Just a couple of other things that I'm noticing. I am very pleased to announce that I think my detox waves have stopped. So that was where I was getting like a day where I'd get a really bad headache and then one of my symptoms would come in again with that headache. Aside from those few things that I've mentioned that are happening over the last few weeks, I haven't had a detox wave headache. I can't remember the last one I had actually. So I think that may have even been about at least a month ago. And I was kind of prepared based on what I'd seen people talking about in the Facebook groups for having them for, you know, over a year. They kind of say, expect a month for every year that you've had implants. So I had implants for about 16 years. I was expecting maybe 16 months of detox waves, but we're month three now. I think maybe by about the end of month two, they had stopped. So that's super awesome. A new thing that I have noticed, again, with the onset in the last few weeks of some other symptoms, I'm retaining a lot of fluid and it's specifically happening around my ankles. I will mention this when I see the doctor because I hadn't really noticed it when she sent me off for my blood tests and my scans. But yeah, I kind of noticed my ankles feel really heavy. It almost feels like if I shook it around, it would look like jelly, and it doesn't look like that at all. But yeah, I haven't had this fluid retention feeling in ages. So that's something that's concerning me a little bit. It's almost painful some days as well. So I wonder whether maybe the pain that I'm experiencing in my ankles is related to that fluid retention. Yeah, I'll just have to see what the GP says when I see her. So that brings us to the end of my month three update. I'm really excited. The next few episodes that you will hear will actually be a new kind of episode where I am getting women from all around the world who are going to join me on the podcast and talk about their experience with breast implant illness, explanting, what they're doing to help manage after having the surgery. And I'm really excited to bring this opportunity to people because, you know, one lady said, I wouldn't have minded starting a podcast myself, but I wasn't sure how to do it. So technology is amazing and it's allowing for me to speak to people all over the world. So if you have a story to share and you are wanting to jump on the podcast, please feel free to message me. I'm on Instagram at Could It Be II Podcast. podcast, I also now have a Facebook page with the same name, so you can reach me on either of those. I'd really love to hear from you. I'd really love for people to share their story, because I saw a bit of a gap in this. I saw a lot of celebrities and even like reality show contestants sharing their stories about breast implant illness, but not everyday women. And that's where I thought, okay, I'm going to share my story because I'm just a normal everyday person. And, you know, I don't have a large following. I don't have a celebrity doctor. I just wanted to share my story so that people knew that they weren't alone. And yeah, I've had some really amazing women reach out to me since posting about it on my Instagram page who want to jump on and share their story, and they're big advocates for BII. And like, I'm just super excited to be sharing these episodes with you. So we have one. The next one will be a lovely lady from Miami in Florida over in the US. So managing the time difference there was a bit interesting, but we made it happen. So yeah, don't let the distance get in the way. I can always manage around the time zone differences. But yeah, reach out if you'd like to be on the episode. But until we speak again, please take care of yourselves, and I will speak to you soon. Bye. This podcast shares my own experience and research. I'm not a medical or health professional. You can find me on Instagram at couldit_be_podcast. Thank you to my incredibly talented partner, Jacob Tengdahl, for the intro and outro music. All recording, editing, and artwork is done by me. Thank you for listening.